Let's read together Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In this first section of Hebrews 3, the author shows his readers that Christ is superior to Moses. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. In Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, we saw that the author of this epistle goes to great lengths to point out that the Lord Jesus is greater than the Old Testament prophets and greater than the angels. Now, we might think it's strange that the author would spend so much time on what to us is no problem. I mean, if someone were to ask you if Jesus was greater than the prophets or greater than the angels, I mean, you would say, well, of course he is. What's your problem that you would even ask such a question? Well, we've seen that the reason the author of Hebrews brings this subject to the table is because of the audience that he's addressing. He is writing primarily to a Jewish audience. The Jewish mind held the Old Testament prophets and the angels in high esteem, and rightly so. The prophets were God's spokesmen who wrote the scriptures. The very fact that the Jewish people considered the writings of the Old Testament prophets as scripture, even though these same writings pronounced judgment on the people for their sin, this shows that the Jewish people had high regards for the Old Testament prophets. And the angels, of course, were lofty creatures, not bound by the frailties of mankind. And Jesus was a man who suffered and died. How could he be greater than the lofty holy angels? So we see then why the writer of Hebrews takes the time to show conclusively that Christ is superior to the Old Testament prophets and superior to the angels. But now there's one more argument that the author must make to his Jewish audience before he can move on to really the great theme of the epistle, the high priesthood of Christ. It is that Christ is superior to Moses. You see, to the Jewish mind, Moses was the greatest of all the prophets. Remember what God said of Moses in Numbers chapter 12? I'm reading Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Then God said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord." And then in Exodus 33, verse 11, we learn that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend, probably in Hebrew. So Moses was a major figure to the Jewish mind. You know, you can even find in some intertestamental writings, Jewish writings, that Moses was considered greater than the angels. So maybe that's why the author of Hebrews places this argument after his argument concerning the angels. So that brings us then to our doctrinal point for these verses, and that doctrinal point should be obvious then, right? Christ is superior to Moses. Christ is superior to Moses. Now, we have three subpoints that are made in support of this doctrinal point, A, B, and C. So, subpoint A, because Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Christ is superior to Moses because Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Notice, by the way, how the believers are addressed, and this certainly applies to us. We are holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We are brethren because we've been brought into the family of God. We are holy brethren because that is our position before a holy God. The Lord Jesus has cleansed us from our sin. And we have a heavenly calling because this present world is not our home. Our eternal home is with the Lord. Now consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. As apostle, Christ is the one who was sent forth. That's what the word apostle means. You remember that, right? Sent one, an apostle. So the Lord Jesus is our apostle. As apostle, Christ is the one who was sent forth from God to represent God to us. Christ, not Moses, represents God to us as to our confession of faith. We're no longer under the old covenant. We now have a Christian confession of faith. Now, as to our high priest, Christ, not Moses, represents us before God. I mean, Moses wasn't even an Old Testament high priest, let alone the high priest of our Christian confession of faith. Does everybody follow the argument? So Christ is superior to Moses because he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Subpoint B, because Christ is the builder of all things. Christ is superior to Moses because Christ is the builder of all things. Verses 2 through 4. Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more honor than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. The argument of these verses is as follows. Moses was faithful in reference to God's house, and Christ was faithful in reference to God's house. The house here for Moses was not just the tabernacle, but the whole house or household of the redeemed. The house of God or household of faith for Moses under the old covenant was Israel. The house of God or household of faith for Christ and the new covenant is the church. Both Moses and Christ were faithful in respect to the house of God. But the glory of Christ is far superior than that of Moses for an obvious reason. The builder of a house clearly has more honor than the house itself. Moses was certainly faithful in reference to the house of the redeemed in the Old Testament. But Moses did not build the house of Israel. God did. Moses was part of God's house, not the builder of the house. But Christ is the builder of God's house, the church. Christ is not a living stone in the church. He's the head of the church. He's the one who builds the living stones into the church. He's the builder of God's house because he is God. In fact, as God, he's the builder of everything. Verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. It certainly seems that the deity of Christ is the point of this scripture. And as God, Christ created everything. So Christ is certainly superior to Moses because Christ is the builder of all things. Subpoint C. Because Christ is the son over his own house. Christ is superior to Moses because Christ is the son over his own house. Verses 5 and 6. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Now do you see the obvious argument in these verses? Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Follow the argument? Clearly, Christ is superior to Moses as a son over his own house. Furthermore, the service of Moses was only temporary and pointing forward as a testimony of what was coming in the future with the coming of Christ. In other words, the things associated with the house of Israel were typical of future realities of Christ and the redeemed. Let me just read one scripture in that connection. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God before us. So any way you look at it, says the author of Hebrews, Christ is clearly superior to Moses. What about practical application from this first section of Hebrews chapter 3? Let the ifs of Scripture motivate you, not scare you. Let the ifs of Scripture motivate you, not scare you. Verse 6 once again. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Let me ask you, does the last part of this verse, verse 6, bother you? Does the if scare you? Well, let me tell you, if this was the only verse in the Bible concerning my salvation and eternal destiny, I think I would be scared. But it's not the only verse in the Bible dealing with salvation. In John chapter 10, verse 28, the Lord said that he gives his sheep eternal life and they never perish. Now, when the Lord said never perish, he meant never perish. So once a sheep, always a sheep. That is, once you are one of the good shepherd sheep, you are in his flock forever. But how do you know whether you are one of his sheep? I mean, people can pretend they're sheep, but they're not really in the flock. People can think they're sheep, but they're not really in the flock. People can look like sheep, but they're not really in the flock. How do you know for sure? Verse 6 is the answer. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Notice it is not whose house we become if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. You follow that, right? You don't become a believer or get into the house if you hold fast. No, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. In other words, what the Bible is teaching here is a true believer perseveres. That's the point. A true believer holds fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So let me ask you this morning, are you persevering and holding fast in the faith? Or are you perhaps like one of those Palm Sunday followers? Well, they looked like they were true followers of Christ. They welcomed him into the city, but where were they a few days later? Do you follow? So are you persevering and holding fast in the faith? If you're not, well, you may be a backslider, or maybe not yet a true believer. True faith perseveres. Let the ifs of Scripture motivate you, not scare you.